God's word is more powerful than hard times are. He doesn't always remove the threat by our faith, but he removes its power over you. The early church was persecuted yet had joy, peace, and hope. He hasn't changed. It's not the absence of hard times that gives the human soul victory. It's the presence of God.
Thanks for joining us on Life Journeys, a podcast about thriving through the worst pain that life brings. With global initiatives threatening big changes to our way of life, we're going to need to activate Jesus's words about mountain-moving faith. Words That Work is the ongoing series on Life Journeys that is rooted in releasing revelational words of faith that will work every time and with everyone. It's about moving the mountains that keep us from the presence and goodness of God. It's about defining our life purpose and identity through encountering Him. Until we have the power to move the obstacles that are destroying our liberty and hope.
Paul told the Romans, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." It says, in believing. It doesn't say in trying, winning, achieving, feeling, understanding, or any other facet of physical existence. My personal ups and downs with physical afflictions and spiritual battles are only overcome by a greater reality than effort and my future decline. My reality must remain in believing for me to abound in hope. We walk by faith, not by sight. By faith, we understand. Nothing shall be impossible through faith. Therefore, science is not greater than faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. It is proof in areas that can't be discovered by science, by experiments, technology, or human intellect and education. Faith only shows up in the impossible, which is precisely why God gets the glory. Why is it by faith instead of any other principle? Again, so God gets the glory. If everything that exists was made by the Word of God, then the Word of God is more trustworthy than everything that exists. Therefore, I'm going to base my hope on faith in His Word. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the basis of my sure hope. This hope is not like earthly hopes where we hope it comes true, but we're not sure. God's hope is sure through faith. Faith is its substance and the evidence or proof needed for assurance. Replace thoughts that originate from human experiences, memories, pain, secular education, fear, and feelings with God's word, especially the fears and feelings. For example, human history and personal experience says everybody dies, therefore I'm going to die. Jesus said, "Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? If I believe in Jesus, I will never die. It doesn't say that if I believe I will never die, that therefore I won't die. It says if I live and believe in Jesus, not believing and never dying. Jesus is the key. It says now, whosoever, that means everyone who believes, and everyone means you're the one. You're the one if you believe in Jesus. Therefore, you will never die. When I get to heaven, no one's going to walk up to me and say, "Oh, I see you're dead." No. Why? Because I'm alive forever. Spiritual truth and reality is greater and more true than physical reality. Heaven and earth will pass away, he says, but my word will never pass away. If I have a sore throat, faith doesn't say, "You don't have a sore throat." That's foolishness. If I'm weak and fatigued, faith doesn't say, "My body is strong." That's just plain lying. Faith doesn't deny physical realities, but it overcomes them. I will never die is true, even when my body is lying in a grave. My body isn't me. Jesus died and rose again to give me eternal life. That's life that can't be destroyed. Jesus said, I'll never die. He didn't say, I will never be weak. I can't pray for healing from the cause of my body's death, but I can pray for power over the fear, sorrow, pain, despair, and loss of hope that death brings to the human life. The same is true for every human dilemma. I can believe God for power over this fleshly, carnal human existence. So I want you to picture Paul standing before a typical crowd and sharing his word about hope, joy, peace, and believing in the Holy Ghost. Imagine as he speaks to this first century Christian gathering. The scene is set in Rome, a place where they take Christians and torture them to death for the entertainment of the government and the manipulation of the crowd. Many in the room where Paul speaks this day have a friend or family member who lived just down the street. They were dragged from their homes to the sound of screaming and wailing. Soldiers punched, whipped, and clubbed men, women, and children, chained them, and brought them to the dungeon awaiting the Colosseum while everyone else watched in terror. There would be no trial, no justice, and no protest. Just terror. Every Christian in the room had to struggle with the decision to follow Christ, for their faith could easily mean their torture or martyrdom, or both. They lived their entire lives on the very edge of brutality. Tomorrow never promised them happiness. Stress was their constant assailant. A preacher's words would never be allowed to deny reality, taunt the government, or make empty claims of liberty. None could ever say with any integrity, if you follow Jesus, you'll never suffer. These people would never think PTSD was anything but an ordinary life. Post-traumatic stress disorder would have been a term used for what we call today snowflakes. The only legitimate disorder to them was the insanity of unbelief. It was in this setting that to us would seem like the stuff of which nightmares are made, where Paul would say, now, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. What would those words mean to these early church Christians? What could they mean to you today who suffer with disability, or terminal illness, or the loss of a loved one, or perhaps prison, or just loneliness, or a broken family? All these conditions were the normal lives of these heroes of the faith who faced death, disfigurement, or prison. In the face of the impossible, of real terror and death, Paul states the word and the will of the Creator of the universe. Their challenge was then to take their human experience and measure it in a balance with the Word of God Himself. Which reality was greater? Which reality could rule the hearts and souls of these people? Could God really create joy, peace, and abounding hope in such an environment? And the answer would not be God destroying the Roman machine. It would not be changing the physical realities of mankind 2,000 years ago or today. The answer would be overcoming the power of this terror. Through believing and the power of the Holy Spirit in the human heart, God absolutely can create all joy. Not just a little flicker, but all joy and all peace in believing. Believing His word over a mere man and his weapon. These Christian people wouldn't abound in hope because God took their enemies away. He would give them all joy, peace, and hope because His word is greater than the power of men and devils. You can have peace through believing and by the power of the Holy Spirit. One day Jesus brought His disciples to face two men living in a cemetery. These men were possessed by legions of demons. The whole town was afraid of them. I remember standing on the hillside on the northeast side of the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus chased these demons into a herd of pigs. When they all ran over the edge of a cliff and drowned in the sea, those two men and the disciples had a very graphic picture of just how God can overcome the power of our enemies. He can destroy the force of hopelessness while the devil sits powerless. He can speak while a storm rages all around us. It's not the absence of devils and death and destruction that gives the human soul victory. It's the presence of God that builds a fortress around the fiery darts of fear. God wants a people who stand against the wind in peace while the enemy stands close but can't overpower the believer. He wants the world and the heavenlies to behold the power of the church, with darkness standing only inches away, but it can't defeat them. God does not intend to be a victor by vanquishing all the enemies of mankind. Not yet. He wants us to stand as victors as the darkness roars against us, but can't defeat us. You see, you just can't stop a believing Christian filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, and that's precisely why the globalists hate Christianity. That's why atheists and devils and death despise believers. You don't have to be physically healed to have all joy, peace, and abounding hope. I don't have to have money to pay all my bills to have the power over fear. The early church didn't have to have the Roman government crushed in order for them to thrive. When God showed up on the battlefields of men's adversaries, the darkness didn't have to flee before God's people rose up with a shout of victory over doubt, deception, and denial. Why? God's word really is more powerful than the damage that any human circumstance can create. God doesn't always move the threat by your faith, but he removes its power over you if you will let him. Paul would go on to be imprisoned in Rome, or he would finally be martyred. I've stood several times in his prison cell down the street from the Colosseum, where he wrote the prison epistles, and it's daunting and awe-inspiring at the same time. There he would declare the victory of the risen Christ, who gave him exceedingly great power over the threats of misery, and he would pass them on to us. Paul didn't want the churches to be discouraged by his suffering in prison so that they would be tempted to give up. Instead, he would write, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, that he would grant you to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. It's according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." That's the power of faith working towards you.
You can unlock the presence of God in your life. There are revelation principles that remove the mountains, keeping us from joy, hope, peace, and purpose when our world gets turned upside down. Look for these words that work with Pastor Hartika as he shares what has helped him when life got hard. And don't forget to check out his book, The Fortress and the Firebrand, available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Thanks for listening to Life Journeys. Find new episodes every Wednesday and Saturday. And if you're new to this series, it begins with the September 16th episode.
God's word is more powerful than hard times are. He doesn't always remove the threat by our faith, but he removes its power over you. The early church was persecuted, yet had joy, peace, and hope. He hasn't changed. It's not the absence of hard times that gives the human soul victory. It's the presence of God.